Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
The editorial, it is Thursday. Tomorrow's a big day. Jimmy and I will be recording the entire weekend radio show tomorrow. Now, we promised you earlier this week that we would be talking about the economy, that we would devote one entire daily editorial to the economy. We're going to back down a little bit in the sense that we're going to talk significantly about the economy on the weekend radio show, because the fact that we record on Friday means that we will probably have more data. Logic tells me that we'll have more valuable data at that point in time. But let's start out with the economy anyway. Just a kind of a brief introduction. I was listening to Jamie Dimon yesterday, and he was saying that he is pretty bearish on the economy. A lot of reasons for that. Jimmy, you got an opinion?
Yeah, I think Jamie Dimon, as I call him, I think J.P. Morgan Chase, as well as Bank of America, Wells Fargo, every major investment company, and according to polling and surveys, 98% of senior corporate leaders are expecting a significant economic downturn coming up in the next in 2023.
How do you feel about that?
Well, it's bothersome to me that that the policies that are in place right now against energy in the United States, the pumping money into the system, you know, we've talked about it much, the inflation that's grown, and basically the administration is unwilling to take actions that would specifically solve the energy issue in the United States, or at least reduce the price of energy and cut back on the spending. And those are two specific things that would help the economy and stabilize it. But what we have is the Fed coming in to raise rates in order to stifle the economy and actually put people out of work on purpose in order to cut the inflation rates, when in fact it should be cutting spending.
That seems like a pretty radical thing to do, in my opinion. But, you know, very possibly it is what it is when you talk about inflation. Reading on Citizens Free Press this morning that mortgage rates are now the highest that they have been in the last 20 years. You go out and buy a house, Mr. and Mrs. Newlyweds, right now, you're going to pay 7% for that money. That's pretty high.
Comment? It's incredibly high. It's way up there from what it's been over the last few years. But how it's really impacting core inflation and prices is that we've got housing in major markets that's dropping 20 and 30% in sales. Yeah. New home sales are way down. People can't afford to actually buy homes, but also you've got the values of those, you know, the sales are down, but also the prices are dropping.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's part of the plan. Part of the Fed plan is in order to slow the inflation, they're going to do that. They're going to force us into some sort of a recession on the hopes that it'll be a slow recession. But the problem is, again, if you're not taking actions to structurally change the environment for corporations, meaning reducing regulation by cutting taxes, by cutting spending, you're actually just prolonging the problem. And that's what we're facing right now.
Yeah, it is. You know, Jimmy, I have to say that this COVID situation that's been going on now for 2 or 3 years, it has absolutely devastated our economy. You look at the inflation rates today, you look at the mortgage rates, you look at the employment numbers, et cetera, et cetera. COVID really, really killed this country.
Well, it did kill this country, and it didn't need to.
No.
We were coming out in 2020, at the end of the year, we were getting back to growth. You know, there was this huge fear in early 2020 about the potential impact of the COVID virus. But what happened in 2021 was a continuation of this, you know, let's pull out of this problem by stimulus, by, you know, spending more money than we had.
Yeah.
Let's force lockdowns. Let's force federal employees out of work. Let's force military to get jabs unless they're, you know, to get the shots that are ineffective or get out of work. Let's force companies and the tremendous amount of propaganda and influence over major corporations with 100 people to ensure they got vaccinated. And of course, restrictions on, you know, distancing, all these other issues had a tremendous impact, both psychologically as well as economically. And we have not recovered from it. We just haven't recovered from it because the administration used this. The Biden regime used COVID as a political tool and continues to try to do so, even though the information that they've put out has been proven to be inaccurate, if not out and out lies, on the effectiveness of the vaccinations and the actual how damaging the virus was.
Yeah.
That was way oversold.
Yeah, it was. No question about that. Now, Jim, I want to get back to another subject. And I want to really get back to something that you and I talked about off mic earlier today. Pardon me. And that was the hacking of the second major paper in New York, the New York Post. It turns out that was done by an employee. Don't you find that to be kind of funny?
Yeah, I haven't actually seen who did it. But I guess the headlines now are showing that an employee did it.
Yeah.
They were absolutely awful words, you know, saying, quote, you know, Zeldin. This is a headline on their website, Zeldin, colon, I will rape and batter Hochul's, sorry, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, these were awful statements. And it shows the level that people will go in order to destroy information that may be counter to what the progressive narrative is.
Pretty interesting. About as interesting as the pardon me, boy, I got a frog in my throat and it's a big one. I want to get back a little bit to the Fetterman-Oz debate. Fetterman came across really very poorly in my opinion. However, I have yet to talk to a liberal who agrees with my opinion on that. Any comments?
Well, certainly, if you watch MSNBC or CNN, they apologized for him, even though some of the pundits actually had to say, hey, this did not turn out well. They were justifying his performance by because of his illness and saying you got to be, you know, sensitive to his illness and giving him credit for standing up. Of course, behind closed doors, Democrats are saying things like, who the heck was the idiot that allowed him on stage?
Right.
But here's the real sad part. There, you know, you've got the media and the Democratic Party trying to protect a guy that should not be there. We talked about it at length yesterday. He should not be, not for his benefit, not for the nation's benefit. This is just an unrealistic expectation that he would somehow perform as a senator.
Yeah.
What it is political showmanship and absolutely trying to pull the wool over America's eyes in order to get this guy elected so they could maintain power.
Well, but what I don't understand, what I totally don't understand, Jimmy, is why do they want to get the guy elected in the first place? There's got to be better, more highly qualified people.
Well, he won the primary, or at least he was ahead in the primary, and
yeah,
his competitors were too, you know, actually outside of the norm in Pennsylvania. And he was the lieutenant governor at the time. So
yeah,
it looked like a good bet from the Democrats and that they control the outcome with it. Of course, and then in May, he had this stroke and then he had to hide out.
Yeah.
And of course, they were committed at that point. So if they lose the seat, they lose their advantage, or they actually, if they gain the seat, they would gain the one seat majority if all
yeah
things were else were equal.
Yeah.
The problem is what it's done is really shown the level of deceit that the Democratic Party is willing, how far they're willing to go in order to deceive America, in order to achieve political power.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are saying, wait, this just can't be. Let's hope so, because if not, we're really just in a very, very bad way.
I would agree with that, but I want to take it one step further, and I want to say I don't understand. Number one, I'm going to point to three politicians who the Democrats have supported. none of whom should be there. One of them is Joe Biden. The other one happens to be Kamala Harris. And now you've got this guy Fetterman. Who's pulling the strings that just don't make any sense? I mean, the puppets are falling down, Jim.
Yeah, that's the embarrassing part. And I think this is very much Barack Obama's former staff members.
Why
and
the hell of course, would he want to do that?
Because he wants the nation to change in a direction that he feels right.
Okay.
But also, I'm actually convinced that no longer are they looking to put the government or the U.S., the American people in a direction they want. It looks to me like they actually want to undermine the stability and security of America and the government.
I don't understand why.
I think it has a lot to do with corporate influences. And the United States, certainly under a Trump administration, was the biggest threat to globalization.
Yeah.
And of course, the big influencers, the big people that have money involved in this, and their propaganda media outlets are trying to shape the population in order to make the United States less influential over the world in order to expand markets primarily in China.
Boy, I got to tell you, I mean, I understand the effectiveness for some people of doing that, but if you're looking out for the best interest of America, that certainly isn't the way to do it. Let's get back to China just for a second. What do you think the opinion of the world is going to be towards the CCP if they go ahead and attack Taiwan, as Xi Jinping says they're going to do if they have to?
Well, there'll be a tremendous political backlash, but how much can anybody do to stop it? The United States is not militarily capable of keeping China from invading Taiwan. It could be an ugly fight, but bottom line, you've got 28 million people against the massive Chinese, military capability. So that's not going to stop it. The Japanese are very concerned about expansion in the region. The South Koreans are very worried about the expansion of China in the region. The Australians, very worried about it. Singapore, another country that's very concerned. But most of them actually have also financial interests with China. And of course, trade with Russia and China, trade with the European Union and China, trade with the United States and China would absolutely create havoc around the world. So a lot of people may say a lot, and politically it'll look really embarrassing, but how much pressure could people put on China to stop them from doing it? And a lot of people would say, oh, well, they're lost. A lot of people already say, too bad, let them go back. In the end, I think that's giving China more power, an authoritarian government, more power that actually has an incredible capacity for controlling society based on technology, is not a direction I think the human race should go in. But there are fools out there, financially motivated, that are willing to accept that because they think they're going to survive.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me. It makes sense if I'm Jeff Bezos and I'm running a company that's going to make me the richest man in the world. There's no question about that. But it doesn't make any sense.
But if you're Jeff Bezos and you want to be the richest man in the world and you want Amazon to expand and you own the Washington Post,
right?
Who's the one that's controlling the message? If you're
Carlos Slim in
Mexico.
Mr. Bezos is, of course.
Yeah. New York Times, Carlos Slim, globalist, Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, you start naming NBC, CBS, Comcast. They want that money. They're willing to sell out on free speech in China in order to, undermine the U.S. in order to get into that market.
Yeah.
ABC, Disney, same thing. And these board members, they're not out looking out for the interest of America. They're looking out for the interests of themselves, their power. Theoretically, they're shareholders, but not necessarily their shareholders, because they are influenced and pressured by these woke policies that are driven underneath by a lot of socialist ideologies that are consistent with what the Chinese are pressing on the world in order to gain control.
You know, we posted an article basically talking about China and three other factors written by a fellow by the name of David Bach, forwarded to us by one of our listeners. And the name of the article is Four Scenarios for a World in Disorder. And I didn't know this, but President Xiaoping at the Communist Party in Congress back on October 16th said that even though it is really detrimental to the Chinese economy, they are going to maintain, as he calls it, a zero COVID policy. In other words, ultra methods of keeping COVID from being transmitted from one person to another person. We saw what it did to the U.S. economy, and I would think because of that, that a zero COVID policy in China would be very, very detrimental to their economy. Got a comment on that, Jim?
You bet I do.
Yeah.
They are using COVID lockdowns for control. They will root out
control people, of the people, yeah.
Control the people and the business leaders that don't buy into their objectives. So if they want, they can selectively say, Shanghai business leaders, we're shutting down because we found a COVID case. And no one can counter or question it. And then they force them into either a payoff or some other, you know, lapdog effort to make them comply if, in fact, they began to speak out against what's happening in the control that's there. They're yeah. using this as a control tool. And, oh, by the way, they're still making a ton of money at the leadership level in the Communist Party in China. So they're willing to sacrifice, you know, their economy doesn't matter to them in leadership in the long run if they get control of global markets, because then they dominate and they look long term. So they're willing to sell, you know, sacrifice short term, and they'll certainly sacrifice people in order to achieve that power.
I want to get your opinion on something else, and that is this fellow David Bush stated at the beginning of his article that he was seeing right now a rather significant deterioration in the relations between the U.S. and the CCP. I'm not sure that I see a significant deterioration. I just basically see business as usual in that situation. What do you think?
I think this administration, the current regime in charge in Washington, is playing defense. I think they're behind the power curve. Yeah. I think that the Chinese are being aggressive and controlling the narrative.
Okay.
So that is a deterioration in one on one level, where the Trump administration, you know, was playing the hardball with them, and there it was not. It was not a positive relationship, but it was a mutually respected relationship. And that was turns out to be more positive.
Yeah.
And it benefited the United States, as a lot of companies decided to go ahead and start reinvesting in the U.S. rather than staying in China.
Yeah.
So this administration is much more accommodating, and that means they're on the defensive. That means that they're being taken advantage of, the current regime.
Yeah.
Biden regime. And I think it has a lot to do, again, with the people involved behind the power, the people that are actually running this government. It's certainly not Joe Biden, and their connections to the Chinese and their connections to corporations that really want a global environment. In the United States, they want a global governance system. The WEF, World Economic Forum, a lot of these globalist corporations want that because they make the money, they make the determination, they control the future,
yeah.
And they don't understand what the potential ramifications are and the corruption that will be involved with a communist-controlled system if the Chinese continue to gain power and the U.S. loses.
Yeah. Jimmy, the Citizens Free Press also put out a missive from the, not really a missive, a policy statement from the DOJ, in that the DOJ is claiming right now they're doing everything within their possibility to ensure the integrity of U.S. elections. It's a very complicated piece of information to try and digest, but I know that you have done that. You think it's all show, don't you?
I certainly do.
Yeah.
I think that right now the Civil Rights Division, which is on the memorandum, is more focused on arresting abortion abortion protesters.
Yeah.
Than they could care less about really digging deep into elections. There's no question that the national security apparatus in the United States has been mobilized in order to influence elections. That's been proven with the FBI and the DOJ over the Trump-Russia collusion falsehoods and lies. So there's no trust and credibility, almost like there's no trust and trust and credibility left in the CDC or the FDA.
Yeah, I think we've got a rough couple of years ahead of us. Let me rephrase that. I think we've got a number of rough years ahead of us, more than a couple. We got 24 elections, right? Really kind of right around the corner. And I personally don't think all of this will be straightened out until maybe 25 to 27. What do you think?
Well, I tend to agree with you on that. It's going to be a long haul. I actually don't know if it'll be straightened out in the next 15 or 20 years. The damage that's done today is so deep. And I'll reflect back on to the Carter years from, 1977 basically to 1981. He did so much damage to U.S. foreign policy around the world. His policies did so much damage that we are still living with the ramifications today of the damage he did in that four-year time period. And I think the amount of damage that the Biden regime is doing right now is, I don't know if it's recoverable, because we are with a competitor that actually financially is gaining on us, that militarily is gaining on us, that influence-wise is surpassing us around the world because of their ability to manipulate, pay off, and buy control. And that's the Chinese Communist Party.
Well, I think somebody's going to step up and they're going to take over the position held by the U.S. for so many years. And I would maintain, I don't think Russia is strong enough to do that, but China sure as hell is, Jim. And I would maintain that they're going to be taken over as the number one power in the world pretty quickly.
Well, I hope not, because when they determine the outcomes for the world, it becomes a very dark world. So my position is we've got to turn this ship around. The United States has been the leader in the West. We have to get credibility back. We have to get control of our debt. We have to get absolute transparency in our governance.
Yeah.
And we've got to maintain our strength. As much as a lot of people talk about all the failures the United States does, look at the United States has had over the years. Look at what the potential other outcomes are if you're controlled by the Chinese government. Because you know what? They're locking people up, locking them into buildings, taking away businesses at will. And there is no argument against their control. You don't have any type of a press that can counter the narrative. You go to prison if you actually publicly make comments against their foreign policy.
Yeah.
Anybody on our website that complained about the Chinese government inside China would be arrested for it.
Yeah.
As much as they complain about the U.S. government,
you bet,
they would all be arrested. And we just, I do not foresee a good future if we allow this to continue. And thank goodness most Americans and most Westerners realize the potential price of allowing them to grow.
For sure, Jimmy. Anything else you want to bring up? We're at about 24 minutes now.
Oh my gosh, 24 minutes.
Yeah, it's been a good editorial, Jim.
Yeah, well, let's do one weekend show for COVID boosters and all the information that's coming out of what the FDA and the CDC did in order to hoodwink the entire American population.
Not until tomorrow morning, Jim. Thanks.
Yeah, you bet.
Bye-bye.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.